Today's shiur is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis from the Beis, three lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara Amr Yehuda, Hani Shushi Vishvatsri Masachiben. Somebody could use different types of herbs for Sukkah. And Rashi explains that these are different types of vegetables that have very wide leaves, and that's why they're very good materials to be used for Sukkah. And Rashi explains that the reason they may be used for Sukkah, because they're not mekabel tuma. And as we keep on learning, that one of the first requirements for something to be able to be used for Sukkah, for Schach, is that it's not mekabel tuma. And even though it is a food, the Rashi says it's not a machal odom. And anything that's not usually eaten by people is not mekabel tuma. Not even with the Rabbanim. The Meiri explains that there are people that do eat these different herbs, but since it's not typically eaten, it's only eaten on the rare occasion, it's not something that people enjoy eating, that's why he says it's not considered a machal adam, and if it's not considered a machal adam, therefore you could use it for schach. So again, says the Gemara, Amr of Yehuda, Hani Shushi Vishvatsri, Msach Ben, you're allowed to use these different herbs for Schach. Abaya says, Bishushi Vishvatsri, Bishushi Msachikin, you may use Shushi, Vishvatsri, Loi Msachikin, you may not use Shvatsri. My Tama, what's the difference? So explains Abaya, Kivin the Sari Rechayu, since they have a very bad odor, shavakalhu fenofik. People are going to not want to sit in a sukkah that have the schach made out of such items that have a bad odor, and people will not remain in the sukkah. And says the Ritva, since that's the case, not only may this material not be used for the schach, but says the Ritva, you may not use it for the walls of the sukkah. He says, you're not allowed to make walls for the sukkah out of a material that has a very bad odor. And that's the psak of the Ramah, indeed, in Simen Tov Reish Lamed Sif Aleph. Rav Shlomo Zalman, in the Chedusha Menche Shlomo, says that by schach, that if the halacha, if you could put on top of this material enough kosher schach that will mask the odor of the schach, then the halacha is that you could use it for schach. The whole point that you're not allowed to use it is because of the bad odor. But if there's a way of taking care of that bad odor that it shouldn't affect you, you would be allowed to use these materials for the schach. And I guess the same thing would be the walls. The point is that it has to be done in a way that doesn't have a bad odor. And once it doesn't have a bad odor, you could use it for a sukkah. Omar, says the Gemara further, Omar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Hani Hizmi Vahigi, different types of bush, thorn bushes, Mesachgvin, you could use for schach. Abay Omar, Behizmi Mesachgvin, you may use Hizmi, Behigi Loi Mesachgvinan, but you can't use Higi. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, what's the difference between Hizmi and Higi? Says the Gemara, Kivan and Nasu Terfayu, since these Hizmi, the leaves fall off all the time. So nobody's going to want to sit in a sukkah where the leaves are falling all the time. And therefore, Shavakul Venofik, and to create a sukkah that people are going to constantly leave is not an acceptable sukkah. So says the Ritva, if that's the explanation regarding the Hizmi Vahigi, says the Ritva, this concern would only be by the Schach, because you sit under the schach, and we don't want everything to fall into your food. But when we speak about the walls, we don't have to be worried about that. And since we don't have to be worried about that, then we could use these materials for the walls of the sukkah. However, the Mishnah Berurah says that even though we just learned that these materials should not be used for a schach, says the Mishnah Berurah, that's only l'chatchila. But the Eved, we may be able to use these materials for a schach because they have the proper characteristics of a schach. Says the Gemara, Amrav Gidla Marav, Hai Afuksu the Dikla, The offshoots of a date palm, besach kimbern, may be used for schach. Because, afgav dagidi, even though they're bundled together, and we learned in our previous year that bundles of anything may not be used for schach, afgav dagidi, egeb de shemayim lo shmei eged. This is not a bundle that was made by human beings. It was made min a shemayim. This is the way they grow. And therefore, egeb de shemayim lo shmei eged. And even though one binds them together later on, it's still not considered a bundle. Because igad b'chad, whenever a bundle, by definition, explains Rashi, is when you take a number of separate objects and you bind them together into a single entity. But if you take one object and you push it together tightly, that's not considered an igad, and therefore it may be used for schach. Says the Gemara. Omar Rav Chisda, Omar Ravina Bashela. Hani dukui dukani. Stalks of cane, sach kaman, may be used for schach. Afgav da gidinanhu. Again, even though they come out as bundles, it's egib de shemayim. Since it's min shemayim, that's the way they're bundled together. Lo shmei egib, that's not called a bundle. That's disqualified to be used for schach. And even though, says the Gemara, Afgav the Hada Agudlahu, even though somebody after will bind them together, it's still not considered a bundle, because Igud Bechad, something bound together by one single object, Loshme Egud is not considered a bundle. Tayanami Hachi, and says the Gemara, so too do we learn in the Braisa, Konim Vidurkonim, cane stalks, and different types of poles, Mesach Behen. Ask the Gemara, Konim Pshita, if you have poles, of course, or reeds, sticks, why should you not be allowed to use them for schach? Of course, you should be allowed to use them for schach. Answers the Gemara, what was meant to teach us was, kronim shodakronim, cane plants that are of many stalks may be used for schach, even though they have many stalks. But as we keep on learning in our shir now, if they all came out min hashemayim, you didn't bundle them together. If you didn't bundle them together, that's not considered a bundle. That's disqualified tzchach. V'amar Rav Chisda, Amar Ravina Bashela. Hamarisa da agma. There was a type of maror that grew by the swamp. You could use that for maror on Pesach. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Mishnah, Masechet Nedagim, Perek Yudalid, Mishnah Vav, says that number of places in the Torah tells us about using Ezoiv. For example, when it comes to the process of the Parah Aduma, the Torah Kedoshah says, V'lokach Ezoiv, V'tovah B'mayim, V'hizal Oil, V'al Negei Be'etzim B'cholol. You're supposed to use an Ezoiv to sprinkle on the person who became Tamei. Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, when the Torah tells us to use an Ezoiv, loy Ezoiv Yovan, not the type of Ezoiv that grows in Greece, loy Ezoiv Kuchli, Ezoiv Kuchli is an Ezoiv that has like a bluish color to it, loy Ezoiv Midbari, it's the Ezoiv that grows in the Midbar, loy Ezoiv Raimi, not the Ezoiv that grows in Rome, not any type of Ezoiv that isn't just called Ezoiv. If it's called anything besides just Ezoiv, it's possible to be used for the Moror. So we see from here that whenever the Torah speaks about something, it has to be in its regular state. If it has another name to it, that's not what the Torah meant. So here too, asked the Gemara, when the Torah Kedoshah tells us that we should eat Moror on Pesach, the Torah says, Amatzos Amroyim Yechlua. It has to be pure Moror without anything else attached to it. So how did Rava allow us, how did Ravina Bashelis, asked the Gemara, allow them to use Marira the Agma? The Mepharshim ask, there's a very obvious difference between Ezoiv and Moror. The Torah says that for the various places where the Torah wants us to use Ezoiv, the Torah says, I want you to use Ezoiv. And since the Torah says, I want you to use Ezoiv, the Gemara, the Mishnah, in Masechta Nedagim is teaching us that if it has another name attached to it, that isn't the Ezoiv that the Torah wants us to use. The Torah, when it speaks about maror, didn't speak about a specific type of vegetable. The Torah says, I want you to eat a bitter herb, a bitter vegetable. So as long as it has the characteristic of being a bitter vegetable, it should be kosher for maror. So the Miri asks, the Miri answers, that since we learned in the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, the Aflam Tesam and Aleph, that the preferred vegetable that should be used for maror is chazeres, what the Gemara is saying is that anything that has another name attached to it is not included in the category of chazeres. The Magen Avraham, in Simen Tov Ayin Gimel, Sif Katan Tezvav, similar answer, a little broader. Says the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim identifies five vegetables that could be used for maror. So says in the Magen Avraham, what the Mishnah means to say is that these five vegetables are used, anything else may not be used. And now the Gemara is suggesting the Merira the Agma, since it has this name that comes attached to it, Meriras the Agma, it doesn't fit into the category of any of those five vegetables, and therefore it should not be allowed to be used for maror on Pesach. So answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Koshin Ishtana Shemai Kadamatan Torah, that if before the Torah was given, there was given that you had Ezoiv, and you had different types of Ezoiv. But, and the Torah singled out, or Basa Torah, and the Torah singled out with Bidalov, and says, I want you to use this vegetables. The Yadua, that we mean, that the Torah meant to say was, only this could be used. The Yadua, Sheyesh L'Shem Levei, and the Torah doesn't want used to use something else. But when we speak about maror, there wasn't a maror the agma, maror stam, and now we could say that the Torah wants you to use maror and not maror the agma. There were no such distinctions. And since there were no such distinctions, that's what the Gemara means to say, that you could use all types of maror. So here we're learning that it depends, was this other type of ezoiv in existence when Ezoiv was identified to be used? And if it was in existence, and the Torah says, I want you to use Ezoiv and not something else, the Torah is telling us that anything else is not usable. So the Tiferes Yisrael asks, the Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, teaches us that when Shlomo HaMelech married the Bas Paroi, Gavriel came and he stuck a pole into the ocean, and earth gathered around that pole, and ultimately that became Rome. So there was no Ezev Roimi at the time of Matan Torah. So how could the Mishnah that we just quoted a moment ago, in Masechta and the Goyim, say that Ezev Roimi is disqualified, and Abai is saying because it was there when the Torah was given, and it was not, and the Torah said don't use it. There was no Ezev Roimi when the Torah was given, asks the Tiferes Yisrael, because there was no Rome at that point. He says that there was Ezev Roimi at the time of Torah. Because what makes Ezev Roimi different than Ezoiv? Because it's not the same as your regular Ezoiv. That there were different types of Ezoivs when the Torah was given, says the Tiferes Yisrael, is a fact. It might not have been called Ezev Roimi at that time, because as we're learning now, there was no Rome, but there were different types of Ezoiv, and that's why even though the name Ezev Roimi didn't exist at that time, the concept of Ezev Roimi existed at that time. Rava gives a different teretz. Rava says, "Hani Marisa Stam Shemayu. All maror are really called maror. Maror is maror. I were calling this maror Marisa the Agma. Vahani the Karli Marisa the Agma. Not because it's a different type of maror. He says all of them are the same. The point, however, is if you want to know where to find this type of maror, mishtim l'shtakach b'agma, you'll find it by the agma, but not to say that it's really a different type of maror. So the Tiferes Yaakov explains. He says a fundamental explanation to understanding the Gemara. He says there are different things that have a name attached to it, but there are different reasons why the name is attached to it. Sometimes the different name is attached to it because it's not the same. What would be the example? The Ezev Roimi. Ezev Roimi and regular Ezev are not the same. And since they're not the same, you can't use, when the Torah says use Ezev, Ezev Roimi is not the same. Merira the Agma and Mara plane are really the exact same thing, he explains. The only difference is where you could find that type of Mara, just to tell us geographically where it could be found. But not that there's really anything inherently different between that Mara and this Mara. And since there's not anything inherently different from that Mara to this Mara, the shame levi that it has doesn't make it to be a different type of Mara. But we quoted the Magen Avraham, and actually the Sfas Emes says the same vort as the Magen Avraham, that when the Torah says Maror, as the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim teaches us, the Torah does want us to use one of the five vegetables that the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim Daf Lamed Tes tells us to use. What is the point? So we see from here that, and now we need to know what is and isn't in that category. Why is this so important? Because the question is, let's say you can't find one of those five vegetables. There were times in the history of Klai Yisrael where they couldn't find the vegetables that are identified in that Mishnah. But you could find, let's say, a radish. A radish is sharp and a radish is hard. Can you use b'dieved a radish for maror? If we're saying, as the Magen Avraham and Sfas Emes suggest, that the Mishnah Masechet Pesachim teaches us these five types of vegetables, nothing else, so radishes is not one of those five types of vegetables, and you should not use radishes for maror. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda. We go back to what we discussed in our previous shiur, earlier in our current shiur, about not being allowed to use something which is bundled together for maror. So says Rav Chisda, Igid Bechad, if you bind something, you take one object and you bind it together, Loishma Igid, that's not called a bundle. Shloisha, if you take three different items and you bundle them together, that's certainly considered an agad. It's interesting to point out that many Rishonim point out that the Yerushalmi, the Tosfos on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the Ramaskel Chavili, actually quotes that Yerushalmi, says that a bundle always means 25 objects. And here the Gemara is saying that it's three objects. So how do we reconcile what we just learned in the Gemara with the Yerushalmi? In fact, many Rishonim, because of this question, say that the Bavli and Yerushalmi actually disagree. The Bavli says the three objects bound together is already considered a bundle, whereas the Yerushalmi says you have to have 25. There are other explanations. Some say that our Gemara, which disqualifies bundles of three, are only when the three pieces have many clusters and offshoots around each piece in the bundle. So even though it's only three pieces, but since they have so many offshoots of the different objects in the bundle, makes it be considered already a bundle when you tie three together. But when you have two stalks that are plain stalks that don't have anything attached to them, then the Yerushalmi is correct, and only when you have 25 is it considered a bundle. So again, Shalosh Me'eged. Shnayim, and when you have two objects bound together, says the Gemara, Machlokes Rav Yosef Rabbanon, that is the subject of a Machlokes of Rav Yosef Rabbanon. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us, Mitzvah Ezoif, when the Torah tells us to take Ezoif, as we mentioned before, to spritz the paraduma mixture of ash and Mayim Chayim on the person who's a Tommy Mace, and the Torah says that it should be spritzed with an Ezoif, what should be used? Shloisha Klochim. We should take three stalks, and each one of them has shloisha gvolim. Each one of them has at least three stems. Rav Yosemer, mitzvahs ezoif, what should be used for the ezoif, for the paraduma? Shloisha gvolim, take three stems, v'shiyar v'shneim. And even if some of the stems fall out, if you have two, it's good. V'gadumov, and even if all you have left are just the stubs at the bottom, kol shu, they're still fine. So we have, says Rav Chisda, the machloikis in that Mishnah is really about whether two items which are bound together are they considered a bundle. However, says the Gemara, it's not quite clear who holds what. So says the Gemara, kasaka datach, the Gemara wants to say that this is the way Rav Chisda understood the machloikus of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi in that machloikus. Midishar of Shnayim, since Rabbi Yossi holds that if you have the bundles, if you have two stems left over, it's still fine. Rav Yossi obviously holds that you can make the bundles out of two. V'aydik tani shloisha. I, the Mishnah, said that you should use three. That was only l'mitzvah. That was only l'chatchila, you should use three. But even if you just have two, it's fine. And says the Gemara, says that Rav Chisda obviously felt the mid Rav Yossi shloisha l'mitzvah. The Rav Yossi holds the l'chatchila, it's preferable to use three stems. Rabbanon hold, not only should you use three stems, but shloish l'akiv, they're essential. You must use three stems. And if you don't use three stems, you're not yoytze the mitzvah. So, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is that the machloikis of, says Rav Chisda, the machloikis of Yossi Rabbanon, how many are considered a bundle? According to Rav Yossi, two, and according to Rav Chisda, three. Ask the Gemara, but Tanya, but how could you explain the machloikis between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanon that way? V'tanya, we learned in a braisa, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ezov, Tchilas Ushnaim. An Ez is a bundle who you started with two stems. V'shiyar of Echad, or you have one stem left over, Puzzle. V'ayna Kosher, it's not usable for Ezov, Ad Shehei Tchilas Ushloisha. So it says here clearly that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that you have to start with three stems, and only if you're left over with Shnayim is it okay. So here it's not like what Rav Chisda wanted to say, that according to Rabbi Yossi you could begin with two. Here it's clear that Rabbi Yossi holds you have to begin with three. Answers the Gemara, so because of this question, Epoch, we have to reverse the opinions and say that Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Shloish Lakev, you have to start off with three, and if you did not start off with three bundles, Shloish Lakev, then even with the evidence, it's unacceptable. And Rabbanan are going to hold Shloish L'mitzvah, that the three that you start off with are L'mitzvah, but if you have two, it's also going to be fine. And says the Gemara, V'atanya, and this V'atanya is actually not a question. This V'atanya is a raya. V'atanya, says the Gemara, I'll bring you a raya, that's the proper understanding. It says in the Braisa, Ezov shetchilas shnayim, if you start off with an Ezov bundle with two stems, v'shiyar of echad, and you're left over with one, kosher. Then the puzzle, the only time it's totally disqualified is actually tchilas v'shiyar of echad. Only if you start with one and you're left with one. Says the Gemara, how could we understand what the Braisa just said? Shiar of Echad Pasul, that if you're left with one, it's disqualified. Didn't we just say a moment ago, the Shiar of Echad, Hayamit Shiar of Echad Kasher, that if you're left with one, it's fine. And says the Gemara, at She'emish Tchilosik Shiar of Echad, where the Braisa said it's not invalid unless at the time of formation it only had one. So the Braisa clearly says, this Braisa can't be following the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds that you have to start with three. Rather, it follows the opinion of the Rabbanan. And the Braisa clearly says that a bundle that just formed with two stems is fine. So we see that when the Braisa said that you should have three stems, it was only meant l'mitzvah, l'chatchila have three stems, but with the Eved, two is fine. So to summarize, according to the Chamim, l'chatchila should take three stalks. But the evidence, if you did two, it's fine. And once you started with two, it doesn't make a difference what you're left with. According to Rabbi Yossi, you're supposed to start off with three stalks. And if you started off with only two stalks, it's possible. But once you started off with three stalks, if you're left with two, it's going to be fine as well. Says the Gemara, Darsh Marema, Hani Yisraisa the Surah. The bundles of surah, mesachben, may be used for schach. Because says the Gemara, Avagav the Ogdon, even though they're all bound together, and we've been learning over and over in our shiurim that bundles that are bound together may not be used for schach, leminyana ba'almud Ogdon. The entire purpose of binding them together is only for counting purposes. They used to put in a certain amount of sticks or whatever into a bundle. And every bundle had that amount of sticks. So there's not a concern that somebody's bundling them together and you may put them, as we learned in our previous year, on top of the schach and then leave it and then decide it to use it for your schach. It's only there because that's the way you know you got what you were supposed to get, and therefore it's not possible. Amar of Abba, Hani Tzrifi the Urbani. They used to have huts made out of willow branches, and they used to be tied together, and on the top, on the bottom, to keep these branches together. So says the Gemara, Kimin Shotu Roshim Adanish Lahem, as soon as the upper knot is undone, Ksherim, they're not considered a bundle, and they can be used for Schach. But ask the Gemara, V'agidim etatoi, even though you undid the knot on the top, they're still tied together on the bottom. Says the Gemara, Amar Ameri, what Rabbi Abba meant to teach us, that the Sharilhu, that you undid it. So of course the question is, if they're undone, what's the Chiddush? They're not tied together. If they're not tied together, then it's not a bundle. So the Rishonim explain that they're still somewhat braided together. And since they're somewhat braided together, maybe that should be considered a bundle and should not be allowed to use. Teaches us the Gemara, according to this Teretz, as long as they're untied, even though they're somewhat braided together, it's not a problem. Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua, I'm a different Teretz. I feel a time of the Lai Sherehu. Even if you didn't untie him on the bottom, you just untied on the path, on the top. But that's not a knot, that's not something that's going to remain there. And the halacha is kol egach enel osul tatloi. Anything that can't be carried, it's not firm enough to be kept together. The halacha is lo shmei eged. It's not considered a bundle, and the disqualification of using something like this for a bundle is not considered a bundle. In other words, as the Ritva explains, any bundle that's not firm enough that the bundle will stay together is not considered a bundle. We spoke earlier in our shir about different vegetables that could be used on Pesach for maror, mevinas atoma, if they are an oil over something, over a mace, and that means you have part of this vegetable over a kazayis of a mace, and then you have anything on the other side. The halacha is that that's considered a oil midaraisa. The halacha is that the kazayis of a mace is metama adam v'kelim that are in the same oil as them. And there's another halacha that we've learned a number of times, that an oil is chaytz v'fnei atoma. That if you have a mace, and then you have an airspace of a tefach, and then you have a roof, that roof is considered an oil, and it prevents from the tumma from penetrating, going higher. So says the Gemara that these vegetables could be used, could be considered halachically acceptable oil for all the halachas that we just described. If there's something on top of them that they're not considered, that the tumma doesn't pass through, and if somebody used these type of vegetables for in the sukkah, they are disqualified. And not only are they disqualified, but as we're going to learn later in the Masechta, there are different disqualifications on the roof of a sukkah. If you have poslus schach on the roof of the sukkah, so if they're in the middle of the sukkah, then if they're the middle of the sukkah, the halach is that the pasul be'ar b'tfachim. If you have four tfachim, a pasul schach, in the middle of your roof, it becomes pasul. If they're next to the walls, you have up to four amis, because as we've learned, there's halacha, we'll describe it when we learn those halachas in Mitzvah Shem, of doifen akuma. If, however, you have empty space on your roof of the sukkah, so then as soon as you have empty space of three tfachim by three tfachim, even though you have it covered with one of these vegetables, it's already considered like you have empty space. And of course the question is, you don't have empty space. You have these vegetables. They may not be the perfect oil, but why do they disqualify? Says the Gemara, my tama. Says the Gemara, kim del chiyafshi. Since when they ultimately dry up, parchi v'nafli, they crumble and they fall off the schach. So the halach already treats them now, command the lesni dummy, as if they're not there already at this point, even though currently they're still there, but since ultimately they're going to dry up, shrivel up, and fall away, they're already considered not valid schach. It's considered as empty airspace. The halach is that adam v'kelim and food are makabel tuma, whether when they come in contact with something with tumah. When something is attached to a food. So that's the halacha of yodas hakelim. We learned that the halacha is that something which is attached to a food is considered like the food. What does that mean? That something tamei doesn't just touch the actual food that we're talking about, but it touches one of the yodos, the handle of the food. The halacha is that just like the food becomes tamei, the yad could bring the tumah onto the food. In order for something to be considered a yad, it has to be attached. Not only does it have to be attached, it has to serve that food that it's attached to. And once it's attached, it serves that purpose. If the food becomes tamei, the yad becomes tamei as well. The halacha, of course, is that just like a food is only mukhsha, the kabel tumah, if it got wet, the same thing will be that if the yad, in order to become tamei, has to be mukhshal kabel tumah. There's going to be a discussion if the yad became mukhshal kabel tumah and the food did not, will that be enough for the food to become tamei? So says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Amar of Huna, Haboitza legas. If somebody is harvesting grapes that you want to squeeze them into wine, and they have the stems still attached to them, and those stems, given what we just explained about yodos, maybe should be considered yodos. The halacha is einlam yodos. They don't have the halachic status of yodos. Rav Nachman ben Gad, Amar Rav Huna, hakoytz l'schach. Somebody's cutting grain for the purpose of using the grain for schach. The halacha is einlam yodos. Whatever is considered a yad to that schach doesn't have the halachas of yad. It says the Gemara, Manda Omer, so explains the Gemara, Manda Omer Koitzer, the one that says that if you're cutting the grain, the yad, even though, as we just said a moment ago, anything that is a yad for food, the aloch is considered like part of the food, that doesn't apply by the schach, because there's no point when somebody wants to get to the grain, it's practical, it's useful to have the yadois help you be able to move that grain. But here, when you want to use the grain for your schach, the yodas are only in your way. They don't have any independent purpose, and therefore they don't have the same category as the grain. So points out the Gemara. Man dama kaitzer, if somebody says, if we're going to say that this is the halacha when you're cutting grain, that there's no din of yad, koshkein baitzer. Certainly, if you're cutting grapes with the purpose of the grapes to be used for wine, so nobody wants to have any impurities in their grape, with their grapes when they're squeezing the wine. It's only going to be a problem that you're going to have to try to filter out all of those impurities. So the yadis not only don't serve a practical purpose, a practical constructive purpose, they actually are a detriment, and therefore they're not going to be considered part of the grape. And if we say that the part that you don't want by the grain, which really doesn't bother us so much, still is not considered a yad if you want to use that grain for schach, certainly so will be the halacha by wine. But says the Gemara, because nobody wants that to be part of the wine that you're going to squeeze. Man da'am b'boitzer ain lo yodis. But if you're going to say that by boitzer, there's no yodis, because as we just said, those impurities are really a problem for the quality of the wine that you're going to try to get. Avakaitzer, when you're cutting grain, yesh lo yodis. There the halacha will be that there will still be yodis. The nichale, because a person does have a practical use for the yodis of the grain, even though I'm only using the grain for schach, the nichale, the lesch ba'kech deloy levadrin, they add weight to the grain, and since they add weight to the grain, that helps that the schach will be heavier and lay on the sukkah. Another pshat that Taisu suggests, what it accomplishes is that the kernels will not get separated from the grain, and if the kernels get separated from the grain, they're going to fall into your sukkah, which is certainly not something that you want to see when you want to have kosher schach and you want to have a comfortable sukkah.